Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local seasonal and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner 7 days a week with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Located at 2359 The Esplanade, visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. We're also made possible by the support of Tim Kemper of Stanford Mortgage. Whether it's for a first-time home loan or to refinance for college, remodel, or the vacation of your life, Tim can help make your dreams come true. Tim can be reached at 530-571-7723 and on Facebook at Tim Kemper Mortgage Advisory. MLO number 971542, an equal housing opportunity lender. This is KZFR 90.1, listener-supported community radio, and welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Thanks to everyone who called in and supported Non-Human Radio and KZFR during the spring pledge drive. That was awesome. Thanks to you listeners and supporters. And thanks to you, the station made its goal and will continue to bring you uninterrupted programming as usual, except when I interrupt Jeannie.
Today we're going to talk about how North Carolina legislature tried to prioritize agricultural polluters over people. How a Colorado college is failing to prepare its students for the future. And we'll talk about the acquittal of Toronto Pig Save Animal activist Anita Krajnik. Over to you, Danny.
All right. National Public Radio's The Salt recently did a profile on a North Carolina couple bringing attention to the hazardous effects that large-scale chicken farms have on the surrounding neighborhoods. Burning throats, a foul stench, no pun intended, harmful gas emissions, and irritating dust particles were just a few of the issues Surry County residents Terry and Mary Marshall said that they have had to live with as a result of the nearby concentrated animal feeding operation, CAFO, raising broiler chickens. The mix of manure, feed, and carcasses, combined with the hundreds of tons of other waste produced each year, makes for a dangerous hazard for human health and also poses an environmental risk. In terms of odor and air emission, these types of poultry operations often are regulated as closely as other industries. What did that mean, Jeannie? I might have got that one wrong. In terms of odor and air emission.
Or not. I'm sorry, there's a missing not.
Yeah,
I don't believe
I did not think so. So basically, these guys are gross polluters, but they get away with it. And they get to live next door to some poor folks wherever they are. Unfortunate folks, I mean. They're not being regulated is a quote by Will Scott of the environmental group, Yadkin Riverkeeper.
Right, that's a water protection group. Often we see environmentalists pushing back against animal agriculture because of the immense environmental damage that these operations do. So it's a good ally for the animals, even if the environmentalists are not necessarily interested in the ethical issues of and benefits of what they're doing.
Well, these things are almost always located near bodies of water, so it's going to get the attention of the river keepers.
Well, in general, as a society, we locate our wastewater treatment plants, as well as these animal ag areas, close to water.
Right.
On the animal side, it's because the animals need water,
right?
Cheap water, and on the on a functioning side for wastewater, it's beneficial to be able to just pipe out your treated wastewater to another body of water as cheaply as possible.
Treated. So, North Carolina's Poultry Production Board has pushed against tighter laws, saying it would hurt the $34 billion industry. I mean, it's $34 billion. We can't possibly take less than that. Because there are no protections for residents, much less the chickens, Mary Marshall is lobbying for future farms to be moved away from residential areas as a way to combat increased air and water pollution. Just last week during the Our pledge drive, Democracy Now!, reported that in eastern North Carolina, residents are battling one of the state's other large industries, hog farms. North Carolina lawmakers passed House Bill 467, which would have limited the damages that residents could collect against hog farms. So did they pass that, Jeannie?
It did pass in the House and the Senate in North Carolina. Do you want me to cut to the chase?
No. Is the chase coming?
Yes.
All right. Hang in there, readers. Since
Listeners. You'll be rewarded.
Listeners, readers, experientialists. The billion-dollar pig industry is primarily clustered in the eastern part of the state, where billions of gallons of untreated pig feces and urine are collected in what are essentially open cesspools, also known as lagoons. This is not the Blue Lagoon. These are brown lagoons. The waste collected in the lagoons is disposed of by spraying it off into the air.
Right, so think like a lawn sprinkler type thing. And it's a, quote, valid way to dispose of this waste. And, you know, think about a pig that is an omnivore, similar digestive tract and variety in diet as humans have. And for humans, we take a lot of care with how we take care of our waste.
Yeah, we don't hook it up to a bucket and attach it to our hose and spray it all over our backyard every day.
No, nor do we collect it necessarily and spray it out elsewhere. So,
residents living in the area suffer from adverse health effects, and the odor is so bad that it limits their ability to be outdoors. Activists from North Carolina Environmental Justice Network, the Waterkeeper Alliance, and the North Carolina Pure Farms, Pure Waters campaign worked against the odds to get newly elected North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper to veto the bill. Haha. So the local politicians passed it, but we got the governor to veto it. The bill was essentially an attempt to protect polluters over people and to deny rights to the victims of nuisances caused by agricultural operations and to not deny equal rights to those who are disproportionately affected by those conditions. And, you know, and if anyone's thinking, well, you know, I mean, we've got to do business. We can't stop business. I mean, think about just Chico, right? You have a noise ordinance, right? You can't have a fraternity, you know, rocking out at 4 a.m. next to you. It's irritating. You can't necessarily be burning everything in your backyard all the time.
Right, because it diminishes other people's quality of life.
I mean, my neighbors chain smoke all day, and I can't open my window. I'm frustrated, but it's their right. But, I mean, they're not operating an open sewage cesspool in their backyard. So... at that point, we'd have to have a discussion. Bill supporters say that the law is necessary to protect small farmers. It's always about the small farmers who I can't seem to find anymore.
Exactly.
From so-called frivolous lawsuits filled by out-of-state interests seeking to bleed the industry dry. You hear this from the right on anything. It's always paid protesters out of state. No proof ever presented.
It's so demeaning, right? It's as if the local residents
don't matter
or are not organized enough to be able to mount resistance to these activities.
So, in fact, none of the lawsuits that have affected the legislation are against small farmers, and Georgia already has laws against malicious or frivolous lawsuits. So, you know, it's not even needed. House Bill 467, or the Agriculture and Forestry Nuisance Remedies Bill.
They didn't even tack on a nice acronym or anything.
It doesn't work. Was introduced by Republican State Representative Jimmy Dixon, a longtime farmer, coincidentally, who has received campaign contributions from the hog industry as well as other animal ag industries. Speaking at a hearing about the legislation, Dixon said, quote, "These claims are at best enormous exaggerations and at worst outright lies. Is there some odor? Yes. But I would like you to close your eyes and imagine how ham and sausage and eggs and fried chicken smell," he said.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, he must have went to the Trump school of PR to say that out loud.
Didn't even do it with a southern accent, but yeah.
No, I'm not going to offend any of our southern friends.
Yeah. No.
Read it in Mitch McConnell's voice or something. Well, he's Kentucky or something. So there's what I'm... Anyway, well, I am happy to report now, moving on, that I don't have to imagine smelling any cooked animals or animal parts. House Bill 467 was vetoed by newly elected Governor Roy Cooper on May 5th. In his veto letter, Governor Cooper wrote, Nuisance laws can be used to protect property rights and make changes for good. We used nuisance laws to force the Tennessee Valley Authority to stop air pollution from flowing into North Carolina, and we won damages to improve air quality. Special protection for one industry opens the door to weakening our nuisance laws in other areas, which can allow real harm to homeowners, the environment, and everyday North Carolinians.
A little voice of reason.
Yeah, good job, right? As a governor. I mean, you know, it's nice sometimes when governors and political leaders are representing the people instead of the business interests for a change.
Exactly.
According to the North State Journal of North Carolina, over $100,000 in lobbying fees were deployed in a 24-hour period as the legislator wrestled with the bill's legal implications and questions about its constitutionality. So, on one hand, we have dubious claims of out-of-state influences, and then as soon as they need to rally their troops, $100,000 manifests from lobbyists for this, which, you know, just shows the hypocrisy. This veto by Governor Cooper was a big deal, and we will see whether the North Carolina legislature bites back and votes to override his veto. So it's one of those states where they can do that, I guess, huh?
Yeah, they can. And they have in the past, so we'll see.
Follow the money. Additionally, there is a class action lawsuit being brought by nearly 500 primarily African-American residents of eastern North Carolina seeking financial compensation from Murphy Brown, the state's largest hog producer, for damages and injuries to their health. Those lawsuits have now moved to federal court, so we'll hear more about them in the future.
Yeah, that's an interesting case. It does have a civil rights basis to it. The class action is being brought under the Civil Rights Act, a violation of Title VI, where laws are not being enforced, and as a result, disadvantaged communities are being harmed by them.
Yeah, I mean, you see that with all sorts of pollution.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine, like, I'm overdue in changing my cat boxes, and it's frustrating me, and I'm going to go out there, and it's going to smell very acrid, right? And that's, you know, three cat boxes, four cats.
Oh, yeah.
And you can imagine metric tons of pig waste being sprayed next door to you on that field every day or every couple of days. It's unacceptable.
Yes, but you know what what an animal ag farmer will say to that? That is the smell of money.
Oh, yeah. It's to him.
Exactly.
So, all right. So anyway, I kind of stumbled through that one, Jeannie.
On to story number two.
What's next?
Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado, is planning to open the JBS Global Food Innovation Center, which is actually a fancy name for a slaughterhouse.
Mm.
The world's largest meat producer, JBS, which was actually recently implicated in a beef scandal in Brazil, donated $12.5 million to fund this project. Quote, "We do not currently have a space on or off campus for students to learn these processes," meaning the slaughter process, "firsthand. For educational purposes, the full range of animal handling and processing will take place in the facility," said Kevin Pond, CSU's Department of Animal Sciences chairman. Colorado State Nutrition and Food Science major Austin Joseph, a student, wrote a lengthy letter of concern that was published by the student newspaper, the Rocky Mountain Collegian. In response to this, Joseph took the position that building the slaughterhouse would be akin to buying a horse and buggy immediately before the release of the Model T. Here's a little of what Austin wrote, which I just thought was a really nice perspective on this kind of investment in a campus in this day and age. He wrote, "If Colorado State University truly has agriculture students' best interests at heart, the school should invest in teaching and researching cellular agriculture, not production methods that will soon be obsolete. Why should CSU prepare students for careers in a dying field when it could train those same students to become pioneers capable of changing the world?" God bless him, huh?
Mm-hmm.
As we reported on an earlier show at UC Berkeley, they introduced two new courses this semester to challenge students to create the next big product. In this case, the students were working on the plant-based versions of vegan meat and seafood.
Right.
Freshman Becca Blyle at Colorado State University also launched a petition urging the school to halt its construction of the on-campus meat processing facility. In her petition, she wrote, quote, "One of the main reasons that I chose to attend CSU is because of the school's commitment to environmental sustainability. Animal agriculture is a major contributor of greenhouse gases. Opening a slaughterhouse on campus is a blatant violation of the university's core commitment to work towards carbon neutrality." The reason why I picked that quote is because Sustainability is one of the tenets of Chico State.
Mm-hmm.
The parallels between the issues here at Colorado State and at Chico State are obvious to me. You know, we just finished up this Way to Sustainability conference at Chico State, and as I commented then, you know, not much was being discussed about actually changing what people choose on their plate. It was all about how to make the existing systems a little better, which in this case, it's kind of like making a better buggy whip.
Right.
At this crux, right? We have...
Coal's coming back, right? Right? We'll get five more years of coal industry, and then we'll all die. You know,
So Blyle, Rebecca Blyle said that if the facility is built, she and hundreds of other students will transfer to another school. She's a member of a campus student organization called RAMS, Organizing for Animal Rights, ROAR, which has held protests against the meat facility with the message that, quote, animal agriculture is a dying industry, end quote. I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that. Our own Chico State has a meat lab, in case you folks didn't know it. It's paid for with your tax dollars. Students run experiments with their herds there, then slaughter and sell the animals for sale to the public. Other young animals are sold to 4-H projects. When we talked about sheep a few episodes ago, we talked about how there's like this separate segment of sheep production, which is producing, quote, project animals. And lo and behold, Chico State is one of those facilities where they make some money by selling baby animals for 4-H projects. In 2016, a class project on the Chico State farm consisted of feeding certain essential oils to the lambs and then figuring out, you know, their productivity. And then the animals are slaughtered and sold to the public. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to play with like a little transistor set, right? I didn't do fake experiments and then kill things.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, and I'd say, you know, the Chico State students are not all ranch kids. There are a lot of them are because of where we're located. But those who aren't, they're inculcated in the belief that they are, you know, part of the circle of life. That's straight from the Chico State Farms website.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is indoctrination. You think about any kind of educational program coming to a college, and conservatives attack it immediately as being, you know, all those liberal professors ramming their beliefs down our throats. I don't think anybody goes to college to work in a slaughterhouse. So having a slaughterhouse on campus, those kids are never going to work in a slaughterhouse. It's purely indoctrination to show them the best of it can be, so they can try to convince them to go out and, you know, own other slaughterhouses that are all going to be shady and dodgy and run, take advantage of immigrants. And that's the people who actually work in slaughterhouses.
I think very few people would choose to work in a slaughterhouse or at a production facility cutting up animals.
I mean, I think I just saw the article again going by, you know, the most dangerous jobs in America are working in slaughterhouses.
Yes. We can never forget the human dimension of this whole and human endeavor of animal agriculture. The people involved in the slaughter and processing of animals work some of the hardest, most dangerous jobs in the country. And in general, in the agricultural sector, whether they're in animal ag or harvesting strawberries or cabbages, that's hard, dirty work. And it's under-regulated, and those folks doing that are undercompensated.
Definitely.
So let's move on to story number 3.
All right. Let's see. A Canadian judge dismissed charges of mischief against animal rights activist Anita Krajnik in an Ontario court this week. Krajnik stood trial for criminal mischief charges, which held a maximum 6-month prison sentence and up to a $5,000 fine for her involvement in a 2015 Toronto pig save event, where she was charged with mischief for giving water to thirsty animals in a truck on their way to slaughter, which is ridiculous. Toronto Pig Save is an animal advocacy organization Krajnik co-founded in 2010. Judge David Harris found that he did not believe beyond a reasonable doubt that Krajnik interfered with, quote, property during the incident. The pigs were uninjured, and sadly, they proceeded to the slaughterhouse basically unimpeded anyway. Krajnik expressed her gratitude towards Judge Harris for his compassionate ruling, stating it was a step forward in recognizing animals as individuals. So, you know, I think the argument there was trying to say they're property and you're interfering with our business property. And he was just like, come on, guys, they gave him water and they got killed anyway. You know, what are you filing a lawsuit about? And let's go back to the other, the North Carolinian nuisance lawsuit, right? This sounds like kind of like a nuisance lawsuit to me. Krajnik was quoted in Veg News as saying, Judge David Harris's ruling today is yet further verification that compassion is not a crime. I think that's a very important thing to say there. Compassion should never be illegal. Krajnik's trial, dubbed, quote, the pig trial, inspired a global movement of bearing witness to animal cruelty, and over 150 groups now participate in similar actions across several continents. I mean, I know when I see the trucks go by on the interstate with the little round circles, you know, it's rough carrying, you know, animals off to slaughter typically while I'm sitting in my air conditioning. Her defense lawyers argued that Krajnik was acting in and for the public good, that is, as a good Samaritan doing what is right, but the judge dismissed that justification, even though he ultimately found Krajnik not guilty, basing his ruling on a strict animals as property basis. So,
yeah, this trial definitely served as a platform for animal rights activists to get these other points across.
Yeah,
because clearly the judge, I think, had no basis for ruling on this as anything but a property issue, given the way ours and the Canadian legal system is right now. We have some groups that are working to expand the definitions of non-human animals to be, you know, sort of a limited person, to grant them some kind of personhood, especially for chimps and gorillas. But we're not there yet. So I think in cases like this where, you know, obviously there was a push to prosecute this woman in the court of public opinion, and it behooves her, and it behooves anyone who's like going to put an animal activist in that position to understand that it's going to go public. It's going to become a platform.
Right. And I think exactly the, you know, there's multi-pronged approaches to animal activism and animal rights and veganism, right? And you don't always see the end game. Sometimes there's not a great strategy. Sometimes there is, but, you know, even other vegans might pick, well, that's kind of dumb. They're going to get killed anyway, feeding them, giving them water, but really what difference does it matter? And then what happens is she gets sort of stupidly, you know, arrested here. It goes to trial. It inspires 150 other groups.
Yep.
It establishes a very small legal precedent. So, again, all these things snowball, and people just, you know, basically need to keep fighting in whatever way they can fight.
Yeah, she did a good job. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio.
All right, and now it is time for the Chico Animal Rights Calendar events. Get out your Android, get out your iPhone, dare I say, pull out a paper calendar, and get ready to mark it up.
Yeah, actually, a good way of getting these events onto your own personal calendar, if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook, the Non-Human Radio page, if you go to the events section of that, of our page, I've plugged in as many of these events that have been set up on Facebook, so you can click interested or attending and get those plugged into your calendar.
Facebook.com/nonhumanradio, or just type in non-human radio to the little search box.
Yep. So anyway, summer is almost upon us, and there are some great events to put on your summer to-do list. And if you need more info, you can check the non-human radio Facebook page, or you can send me an email, old-fashioned email, chicovegan@gmail.com. So the first event is coming up on Friday. There are some activists up in Redding who are holding a peaceful protest against the 5th annual Wind River Casino Bacon Fest. Activists with a heart are invited to attend a nonviolent peaceful protest against that event. Participants are needed. We're needed to be a voice for the pigs and to enlighten people so they can begin to make more compassionate and healthier choices.
If you need inspiration, think about what we just said about Anna Krajnik and Toronto Pig Save and how that escalated into some good wins.
Yeah, and you know, these events have the potential to ripple. Social media can amplify and give an event leg. So if you're in the Reading area, we're planning to be up there, you know, take a minute between 5 and 7 and join these protesters. Signs and flyers will be provided, and please check out the Facebook event posted on the Non-Human Radio page or on the Reading Vegan Meetup for more info. On Saturday, May 13th, the Red Bluff Vegans are at it again. They're hosting their May potluck with a theme of Hawaiian theme. So, you know, basically add pineapple. 5 to 7 p.m., at a private residence. So please RSVP to the event on the Vegan Red Bluff Facebook page to get the exact home address information. The event is free and open to the public. On Saturday, May 20th, the next Saturday, from 3:30 to 9 p.m., there's a big gala for the Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary. It's a gala and fundraising with an open bar, raffle prizes, including overnight tours at the Paws Animal Sanctuary, which is an elephant sanctuary, a great swag bag. I've been watching all sorts of great companies donate some food items and goodies.
It's not gala? Have I been saying it wrong all these years?
Gala, gala.
Tomato, potato.
Yeah.
Okay. That's better than just being wrong.
Yeah. And the keynote speaker for that event is vegan bodybuilder Tori Washington. So you can get more info and buy tickets at blackberrycreek.org. And that is up in Colfax, California. I'll bet it's going to be a gorgeous evening and a wonderful event. On Thursday, May 25th, we have Plant-Based Chico is at it again. They will be hosting their meeting at the Chico Grange or Chico Guild Hall from 6 to 9 p.m. on Nord Avenue, 2775 Nord Avenue. They will be hosting an informative meeting and discussion session with local author and plant-based advocate and educator Lonnie Muehlrath. Lonnie will be talking about her book, The Plant-Based Journey, which is a guide to making lasting habit changes to a plant-based diet. It's really a neat book. It goes step by step on how to make this kind of habit change and not look back. So for more info, join the Plant-Based Chico Facebook group or check out the events page on Non-Human Radio and Facebook. And then coming up in June, the first weekend in June, we have the Nevada City Vegan Food and Wine Festival. It begins on Friday, runs through Saturday with some additional events on Sunday, June 4th. And that's up in Nevada City. They will be having food samples, cooking demos, vegan author readings and book signings, kids events, pop-up food vendors with vegan goodies like cupcakes
awesome.
And tacos, street tacos and things like that, and wine tastings.
I'm going to try to go to that. I certainly love vegan food, and I wine all the time. So
you can wine and dine. And then also that weekend up in Grass Valley also is Animal Places Farm to Animal Conference. Where if you're into just hearing the great Carol J. Adams speak on feminism and animal rights, she'll be the keynote speaker. There'll be a speaker on race, class, and veganism, speaking about laborers in the animal ag industry. There'll be Dr. Linda Alvarez, who's going to be speaking on animals, migrants, and structural violence in the factory farming industry, as well as Patrice Jones, who'll be giving a talk on intersectionality and liberation for all. So for more information, go to farmedanimalconference.org and check that out. That is all that I have for the calendar. We have one last bit of business to take care of, and that's the animal rights quote of the week. Take it away, Danny.
The quote of the week is from the book Silent Spring by Rachel Carson, a very important, influential book. Quote, until we have the courage to recognize cruelty for what it is, whether its victim is human or animal, we cannot expect things to be much better in this world. We cannot have peace among men whose hearts delight in killing any living creature. By every act that glorifies or even tolerates such moronic delight in killing, we set back the progress of humanity.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I didn't choose that word. Rachel Carson chose that word,
right.
Moronic. It's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. So Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contributions of KZFR listeners like you and you and you and you. Many thanks to Sue Hildebrand and her engineering assistance and moral support and Bill Mash and friends. Stay tuned for Sue's show, The Real Issue, coming up next.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist Rockers Rise Against. If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, over and over again, you can find our show at KZFR.org. This is Jeannie Trezino and Danny Tom signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.